having 100 sheep, and he lose one of them, and doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost. And when he hath found it, he lays it on his shoulder rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful for this fine number of young people and adults, and it's been a blessing. Father, we're over this pandemic that we went through, and now to be back in God's house and worshiping and seeing all the kids, it's just overwhelmed with what God can do. You can't, He's the greatest thing in the world. And Father, we pray that as I do this little short message this evening, that it would touch your heart. And if anybody here today's never trusted the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, the Savior, may today be the day of salvation for them. Okay, now let me go ahead and get this thing rolling a little bit forward. But what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, but goes out and seeks that lost sheep. He seeks that lost sheep, puts it on his shoulders, and carries it away. And I've seen that before in shepherd stories and shepherd things where they showed what shepherds do. And that's one of the things that they would do. They'd get so scared when they'd be out in the wilderness, but then the shepherd would come over and take a little sheep and put it around his neck and comfort it. All God's people say it. That's a wonderful thing. And one of the reasons why this is in here is because, before I was born again, before the Lord saved my soul through Jesus Christ, what did He do? He opened my heart. He opened my understanding. And he showed me who Jesus was. Now, how did I learn that? I learned that through the Bible. I learned that through the Bible. The Bible told me that salvation is by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. All God's people say it. That's the greatest thing you can have in your life is to have eternal life. Beloved, we ain't gonna be here long anyhow, I don't think. We don't know when the Lord's gonna come. He might live thousands of years later. We just don't know. But we ought to be ready. Do you think? There's a lot of people that believe in God and they believe in heaven. They believe in eternity. They believe in all those kinds of things. But they've never trusted Jesus. They've never trusted Him. They never asked Jesus to save them. They've just never done it. They plan on doing it one of these days. But at the same time, they never have. That's a dangerous thing, I think. It's a dangerous thing, I think. So it's important that we have everlasting and eternal life. And God gives you that. The greatest gift we have is the gift of God, which is eternal life. All God's people say. One of these days, if the Lord doesn't come, now of course, the Lord could come in the rapture, couldn't He? He could come down out of here today and take us out of here. But there'll be a day when Jesus will come. He'll come. And you know the only reason why He hadn't come yet? He's still saving His people. He's still bringing in His lost sheep. He's still bringing them in. But I can tell you one thing, there'll be a day and a time when the King will look over and say, hey, get your people out of there. And He'll take us out. All God's people say it. Now, I don't know when that is. And if anybody tells you that they know that knows the day and the time, it's just not true. You just don't know when it's going to be. Only the Father knows when the King is coming. All God's people say it. But the main thing is you need to be ready. And know that you're ready. Know that you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. That's the main thing. Let me move to the book of Romans chapter 10 here. Romans chapter 10. I ain't gonna be windy, I promise. See, that clock ain't even working. That's the best clock in the world for a preacher. Okay? Let me show you this other text right here. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And let's look down here at Romans 10 verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be what? They might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. That's knowledge of the Scriptures. They didn't have no knowledge of the Scriptures. God's people need to have a knowledge of the Scriptures. You that have trusted Jesus as your Savior, you should be able to instruct your children in the things of the Master. Man, it's a glorious thing when you can have a child and the Lord puts them in your care and He expects you to train them up. That's what the Scripture says. That's the wording He used. Train them up. So that they would have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. All God's people say it. Ain't nothing any greater than that, buddy. And God's the only one that can give you that. He's the only one that can. Verse 5, for Moses described the righteousness. Now I want you to see something here. And I want you to, this is Romans 10 and 3, 4. Now I'm going to read it. Here in just a minute. 5 and 6. Okay? Now I think it's 5 times in these verses that he uses a word. 5 times. Are you ready for it? You know what it's called? It's called righteousness. Called righteousness. Now I want you to look down at verse 3 and I'm going to show each place where it's used. Because I want you to understand what righteousness is. I want you to know it. And I want to explain it to you. I want you to hear about it. Alright, go back to verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Let's stop there just a minute. See where it says God's righteousness. Everybody hear it? God's righteousness. It's in verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, they go about to establish their own righteousness. Your own righteousness won't take you nowhere. You must have the righteousness. You must have the righteousness of who? You have to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. One perfect man. Do y'all agree? One perfect man. You know what Jesus does when He saves a sinner? He takes your sin curse and He removes your sin as far as the east is from the west. And the east and the west never meet. And it's a complete putting away of your sin. This text, when he talks about righteousness, this is imputed righteousness. You see it in verse 3. Verse 3, you have it again. Verse 4, it speaks of righteousness. In verse 5, it speaks of righteousness. In verse 6, it speaks of righteousness. If I can get you to understand what righteousness is by God's grace, it's the greatest thing you'll ever see. It'll be the greatest thing you ever see. How much does it take to go to heaven? You know how much it takes to go to heaven? It takes 100% righteousness. Guess what that does? That leaves everybody in here tonight lost. You're not righteous. Beloved, when I was born, in sin. And I'm still that way. I've been born again now, and I'm saved, but we still have a body that sins. We're not perfect. That's why we needed a substitute. All God's people say it. We need a substitute. It just can't be any substitute. It has to be one that is perfect. Has to be. Am I perfect? I've heard people say it is perfect. But if you follow them around a little bit, no, they ain't perfect. No one's perfect. One perfect man, and that is who? Jesus. And Jesus is 100% righteous. How much? He's 100% righteous. Are we 100% righteous? In Jesus we are. You know what Jesus does when He saves a sinner? Now I want you to get this. If you get this, I'll jump all over the place. If a sinner person calls upon Jesus' name and says, Lord, I want to have everlasting life, you know what the Lord will do? He'll give you everlasting life. That's why He says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Beloved, you're going to spend an eternity somewhere. Just two places. One of the reasons why I preach is so I can warn people about certain things. And this is a warning text. That's why it's in here. Everybody thinks they're good. Everybody's wonderful. We're all sinners. It's what the Scripture says. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we needed Jesus. And you know what Jesus did? He saved me. How did He do it? He opened my heart. He opened my understanding. And I seen that Jesus was a Savior. How did I see it? I seen it in the Scriptures. I seen it in the church services where I'd listen about Jesus. And I saw it. And I needed what? I needed a Savior. I couldn't save myself. I had to have a Savior. So guess what? The Lord saved a nothing. The Lord saved a nothing like Jeff Arthur and made him His child. All God's people say it. You ever heard of the new birth in salvation? How many of you ever heard of it? The new birth, being born again? Have you ever heard it? That's what salvation is. When the Lord saves you, He gives you a new birth. And that's why the Scripture says, old things pass away, behold, all things becomes new. Guess what I am now? I'm a new creature. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's what He does. He gives you everlasting life, and He gives you a home in the Father's house. That's what He does. It's the greatest thing you can ever have. It's the greatest thing you can ever have. It's to have this everlasting, eternal life. All right. You got the righteousness down, Pat? Here's what it's all. I ain't quitting yet. But you got the righteousness down pat? See, we would look at how good people are. Here again, I want to tell you, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. You can't go to heaven on your own deeds. If you try to, you'll die in your sin. You have to have imputed righteousness. And you know who gives you, the righteousness? Does anybody in the house know who gives you the righteousness? Jesus did. Jesus gives you His righteousness. How much does it take to go to heaven? How much righteousness does it take to go to heaven? It takes 100%. And none of us have 100% righteousness. We all fall short. That's why Jesus came. In the councils of eternity past, He said, you know what? I love Jeff Arthur. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call him one of these days. And I'm going to make him my son. And that's what he did. Why? I wasn't worth it. Was you? Do you think you were worth it? We weren't worth it. But that's what God does in salvation. That's what He does. In the Old Testament, in the book of Revelations, God's people are depicted. Y'all remember, if you've been with me a long time, when they depicted God's people in the book of Revelations, they're shown as having on what kind of robe? White robe. Everybody, when you look at the book of Revelations, everybody in the book of Revelations that have trusted Jesus, all white. Clean and white. And you know what that's called again? I'm going to tell you it one more time. It's called the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And get it now. He imputes it to you. You're not saved by your righteousness. If you try to save yourself by your righteousness, you'll go to hell. Nobody goes unless they go through Jesus. Because it can't be, well, I'm 90%. I doubt if we're even 90%. What do you think? I doubt if we're even 50%. But you know who's the 100% person? It's Jesus. And what He does is He takes His righteousness and gives it to you. All God's people say it. Jesus saved me. You got me? Jesus saved me. And He saved me 100%. One of these days, do I worry about hell? Look at me. No, not one bit. We used to sing an old song here. I guess we still do it every now and again. It's called Jesus Paid It All. See, these old hymns that we sing, they have a lot of meaning in it. Them old timers knew Jesus paid it all. It doesn't say Jesus paid it half. Jesus didn't pay it a quarter. He paid it all. 100% righteousness. Where do you get that at? Jesus. He gives you His righteousness. I ain't got the time. But if you would look in the book of Revelations, any time they depict righteousness, it's depicted as Jesus with a white robe. And that white robe is a picture of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what He done for me. I'm just telling you what He's done for me. That's what He's done for me. I was rotten to the core at one time. Still yet are. We all are. Everybody likes to think they're good and good theirself up. But we've always needed a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. And he'll wash, listen to him what he'll do. He'll wash you clean, totally. Give you everlasting life. Well, what about them sins after that? Well, when you trust Jesus as your Savior, what does he do? Yeah, he pays all your debt. But not only that, if you're born again, I want to tell you a little something. If you truly, you know, God is our Father. Do y'all agree? God is our Father. You know what he'll do, don't you? He'll take you to the way. Hey, if I ever told you that I'm afraid of the Lord, I said it here tonight, didn't I? I'm afraid of the Lord. I'm afraid of what he might do. He'll correct you. Here's what we like to call it. He'll take you to the woodshed. Have you ever had God take you to the woodshed? That's how he keeps you. That's how he keeps you. Isn't it it's great to be born again. It's great to know that your name, listen to me, it's great to know that your name is written in heaven. When someone's born again, pow. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Nothing any greater than that. Well, beloved, I'm going to start to close, and I'm going to have a word of prayer. I hope you like the message, but whether you liked it or not, it's still true. It's still true. Ain't nothing you can do with it. Ain't nothing you can do with it. The only thing you can do is trust him. Trust him as your Savior. If you ever want to talk to the old pastor here, anytime after church, if you want to talk about salvation after this meeting, anytime you want to talk to this pastor, you can. We'll go ahead and close here with a word of prayer. Harlan, would you care to pray for us? Don't sing or nothing, though.